All right, everybody, we're going to get started. Today is Destination Health. We're only going to be able to do 1 hour today. I've got to get to the airport. If you jump in right now, though, we've got plenty of open spaces for questions. Looks like it's going to go be a little quiet today. We're 2 hours early, probably why. So today's your chance. If you want to jump in, press one on your phone right now, and I promise we'll get to your call. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking, and today is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about everything health, food, nutrition, fitness, diet, lifestyle, movement, connection, sleep, disease, drugs, supplements, you name it, we'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and ask the question. We're going to get to those questions in just a little bit. Kim, welcome. It's that time of the week again.
I know. Glad to be here, Kevin.
So this week, unfortunately, we only get to do 1 hour. I've got to get to the truck show. Exciting though, this year at GATS, I will be doing a 3 hour seminar in the Health Pavilion.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to get to cover a lot of stuff from start to finish, which is exciting. So looking forward to that. That's Friday 2 to 5. So you know me, if they leave me in the room, I'll just keep going. And since it's the end of the show, nobody's after me, so they'll have to, kick us out.
That's awesome. That'll be good. And I'm sure it was just great. You'll get questions. I mean, and hopefully you have a full room and people have, you know, time that you could really, really talk more depth on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. So since we only have an hour, I always say this, I didn't want to do a really long open. So I didn't make a lot of notes. I have some ideas I want to go over. And in a way, it's kind of circling back to what we were doing in the very beginning, something we talked a lot about then, I haven't really talked a lot about since, once in a while, but it's gut bacteria. You know, that was one of our first things. And one of the reasons we haven't talked about it a lot since is because we still don't know a lot about this. You know, the more we learn, the more I see this as being really important. But we're not really sure. There's so much we don't know about this topic. It can be incredibly complicated, but like a lot of other areas, we can certainly simplify it. If you know, do certain things, your gut bacteria is going to get better. We don't know what the ideal balance is. In fact, this is kind of interesting. Your gut bacteria is just as identifying as a fingerprint. Everybody's is absolutely different. The thing that can confuse it is your fingerprints never change. Your gut bacteria can change in days or even less. So it's kind of a moving target. We know certain gut bacteria that are really good for us. We know some that isn't good for us. But even those can get a little tricky because it's the amount of each one that you have. It's the balance and the diversity. And so there's a lot here. This controls far more about our health than we ever believed. We know that about 80% of our neurotransmitters, the things that control our mood and so many other things, are actually produced by our gut bacteria. And that changes if they change. It's, you know, we've talked about some of this in the past, but it's, I think it bears going back over. When we talk about food cravings, it turns out that food cravings are almost always generated from your gut bacteria. And what's really happening is you're craving what they want. So we know that most of the bad bacteria tend to feed on sugar and carbohydrates. So if you have those cravings for sweet stuff, it's not really you that wants the sweet stuff. It's your gut bacteria. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's kind of fun, though. You know, I kind of create a visual. So you're, you know, we know we're fighting something. Now we can put a little face to it, you know?
Yeah, it's all your little gut bugs down there saying, feed me, feed me.
Yeah.
And yeah they're telling us what they want. Yeah, that's right. They need a good slap down. But if you have good gut bacteria, they tend to feed on resistant starches. So I don't know that you'll actually tend to crave resistant starches, but you at least stop craving the sweet stuff, which we've seen happen. I can go back and forth, and, you know, it'd be interesting to think that, you know, you start to eat some higher carb foods and some sweeter things, and then the more you eat them, the more you crave them.
Mm-hmm.
And was that just habit? I don't think so, because that craving can be really powerful. And I think as you feed the bad guys and they start to multiply, then those cravings get stronger and stronger. And, you know, people say, well, I can't stay away from sweet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we know why. It's not just a habit. It's actually powerful neurotransmitters in your brain doing that.
Yeah. And you know what? I see that people will actually write that on their NutriQ requests too. Like, and they'll even say like, I'm doing good, but the sugar keeps getting me and that kind of stuff. I had a lady just do that recently. And I was like, you can tackle this. But yeah, and that's neat. So maybe look at it from the standpoint of don't focus on the sugar craving so much, except to get your gut correct. And it's almost, you know, it's a symptom thing, you know, then the rest will follow.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of what brought this up, you sent me a link yesterday from somebody that we both follow. I'm not sure I am sure I follow him quite a bit. I read his stuff and I'm pretty sure he's not following me, but this time I beat him to this one.
Yeah.
So
I
found a lot of things that he's been doing and I've tried it. And, you know, he's one of those people I trust. He does his research. He does his testing. He shows you all his results. I follow him a lot on heart rate variability because he's really got that dialed in. But on the gut bacteria, I talked about this many months ago, and I don't really want to mention the company's name right now. It's not that I'm hiding it. Mm-hmm. It's just that I want to make sure this is right because this is an expensive program. I don't want somebody running off and doing this until I've tested it to at least, here's what I'm looking for. So in this program, I thought I was getting one test every quarter, and you could actually sign up back then for one test every month, but it was really expensive. So I went for one every quarter. Well, now I see they charged me less and I'm only going to get two a year. And it's because the lab is so backed up. They won't even sell the monthly or the quarterly anymore. They're the only lab in the country that can do this test. And it's been, you know, heavily promoted by some people that are followed quite a bit. So the lab has been overwhelmed. I'm glad I got mine in early. So I got my first results back. You sent me a video and this was really interesting. They took Ben Greenfield's results from the same test. And the lab actually did a video where they went through and explained everything. Did you watch the whole video?
No, I didn't. You said that. I'm like, I think I forwarded you the email. I'm like, oh, there was a video. I'm a bad skimmer. Shoot.
I keep all these windows.
Oh, at least I didn't crack up. I keep all these windows open on my computer because I'm always going to go back and watch these things.
Yeah, go back and watch that one because they go step by step through the results. And the results are really in-depth. So it's like a 22-minute video where they're explaining, you know, everything they find in this. And, you know, you get three scores. You get, I may get the wording wrong, but you get like a, oh no, you get a gut score, a metabolic score, and a body score, which is kind of the overall. So I scored in the really good zone on all of them. So I was very happy about that. But I wasn't surprised. I've been eating really clean and doing a lot of the right stuff for a couple of years now. So I expected that. Ben Greenfield obviously was really into the excellent zone. I mean, he had really good scores on both. I was a little behind him on both metabolic and gut. Overall body score, we were virtually tied. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But then the results, almost nothing matched. And that's just to show how different the gut bacteria is. So I have, you know, 30 or 40 different, you know, gut bacteria they identified. And that's just by, they do it by species, strain, all the way down to the, you know, very specific. And when you get down to there, you're talking about hundreds of different strains. And they're in different proportions. And not only do they measure that it's there, but they measure the metabolic activity of each one. So you may have some bacteria, but they're not doing anything. Then you may have other bacteria that are very active and doing a lot of things. So we'll, the music's playing. I'm going to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that, and we'll get to some calls as well. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. I'm going to get to your calls in a little bit. So, Kim, they actually measure what the bacteria are doing, how active they are, if they're active at all. And we're learning more and more about what bacteria do. One of them that they mention in the video and talk about is the bacteria that is responsible for creating butyrate. And butyrate is actually one of the nutrients that is responsible for keeping your gut lining really healthy. So when you find people with leaky gut, they tend to not have much or any of this particular bacteria. And if you have this bacteria, then you're probably more likely to have good, healthy gut lining and not leaky gut. So I was very happy to see that I scored very high on that bacteria. It's really interesting. Now, the other thing, they compare your percentages to everybody that's ever done the test. So they'll say you have this bacteria and it's this active. And in everybody who's ever taken this test, here's the percentage. You can see how you match up against everybody. Then they have this really strict criteria for what they consider the healthy group. So normal body weight, normal blood pressure, normal blood sugar, not on any kind of medications, all of those things. And then they benchmark you against the healthy group. So you can see how your gut bacteria matches up against the healthy group.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really, go ahead.
Well, you have the benefit. I wonder, you know, so you have the benefit of having so much in place and so much, you know, it kind of is how clarifying, you know, that you've done the good stuff. I wonder, you know, with people that come in that aren't so healthy and they see the bad stuff, do they have a thing to then like retest or help or, you know, so forth like that?
Yeah, and that's really why I'm not really talking a lot about this test or telling people to run out and get it, because here's what I'm doing. So my numbers are really good, but there's still room for improvement. And I figure if I can improve from where I am, then everybody should be able to really improve. You know, the better you make things, the harder it is to keep making those improvements. So they do give you very, very clear recommendation on what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. And they break it down to foods that you can indulge in, just eat them all you want. Foods that you should eat every day. You should, you know, make sure they're part of your diet every day. Foods that you should just maybe eat in moderation. They're foods that aren't going to do you any good. And if you ate too much of them, they would probably do you harm, but they kind of say, you know, you can eat these, just watch it. And then foods that you should absolutely avoid, foods you shouldn't eat, period. So it very, very clear recommendation. So I'm doing two things. I am going to really stick pretty close to their guidelines on what I should eat and what I shouldn't eat. And I'm also going to test one specific brand of probiotic as well.
Oh, yeah.
They part of the test, they even separate out and identify the gut bacteria that are in commercial probiotics. So that you can see.
I'll be interested. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm taking this probiotic, and you can look on all your probiotics and see what the strains are, you can look in your report and see, are they going up? Is this thing doing me any good or not? Because we never really know. You know, probiotics, we know we should have them, but are they really working? This test will absolutely tell you. You're taking this strain, but it's not showing up in your gut where it is. So it's going to take me a while, but you know, this is a long-term thing for us. So I'm going to each like round of testing 30 days prior to the test, I'm only going to take that one specific brand of probiotic and then see, does it really work? Is it showing up in my gut? And how is it changing the rest of the gut bacteria? Did my score get better? Because that's what I'm hoping for, that my score gets better. So, you know, after that first test, if I see improvement, then we may even go partner with this company so we can bring it and, you know, maybe get our tribe a discount or whatever we normally do. But I don't want to do that until I at least see that their recommendations work and actually improve scores. Their test is awesome. I mean, the information is just amazing. One of the things that jumped out about mine, I said they'll measure the activity, and the way they do it is a percentage of all activity in your gut. So they'll say this particular bacteria was responsible for 2.4% of all of the activity. We don't always know what that activity even is. You know, what are they doing? We're still learning a lot of that. But what was interesting about mine, like most of the reports I've reviewed and in this video, you'll see that, you know, this bacteria was responsible for 2% or 4%, or I have one bacteria that was responsible for a little over 50% of all of the activity.
And which one was it? Which one?
It identifies it, but I haven't been able to find, I need to take some more time and go dig a little deeper into the medical research, because this isn't a really common one that I can tell, and I'm not really sure what it's doing. The one that produces the butyrate, I had a pretty high percentage. I was higher than the everybody group, and I was higher than the healthy group on that one. I'm wondering if that's because of the butter in the Bulletproof coffee, which also creates butyrate. So I'm wondering if that, you know, all the Bulletproof coffee for a couple of years now is part of that or not. I don't know. There's just so much about this we don't know, but there's so much here that I can see this will be an area that I'm going to do a lot of research and a lot of testing for a long time, I think.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and then the other part of this test is the metabolic challenge, where you drink their, you know, it's kind of like the glucose tolerance test. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that, you know, what I've been finding all along based on my own testing was pretty true. I'm just not very carb tolerant. I need to keep a pretty low carb count. And I do, and the test actually shows this, I do much better on a high fat diet. Now, the one thing they recommended for me, and I'm kind of struggling with, but I think I'm going to try it at least for the 30 days leading up to the next test. They say that my protein intake should be much higher than what it is right now.
What are they saying?
Almost 40% of calories. I'm at more like 15. So I have more than double my consumption of protein based on their recommendations. And they get very, very specific about which kind of protein. Like my number one protein should be wild caught salmon. And I should, I mean, it gets so specific, I should only eat ostrich in moderation. I'm going to have a hard time with that.
Yeah. I lose
so
the
they, yeah. They literally go through every protein and tell you, you know, indulge in this one. You should eat this one every day. Avoid this one. It's very interesting. And supposedly this is all based on a very high level artificial intelligence, and it's going to get smarter as the program grows. But literally there's only one lab in the country that has this capability.
That's good for them. I always, it just fascinates me that a company is built around this. This their innovation, and you know what all had to happen for them to bring that to market and where it's going is very cool.
Yeah. So you just sent me some of your results.
Loving this. And I wanted to ask you with your heart rate, the HRV. Watch, what are your V scores? And I haven't dug into this that much. It's taken me forever to like to learn this thing, this, you know, which, you know, tapping it twice or three times or, you know, syncing it and doing all that
right.
stuff. So what is your dashboard?
Let me go back and look, because I'll tell you, it's all over the board. And right now it has not been good. That last weekend where I worked like 35 hours on one thing, which it's hard for me. It was a lot of writing and a lot of creativity. And I mean, I worked and slept, and that was all I did. I would take an hour nap in the afternoon and I would sleep about 4 hours at night. And for 2.5 days, I just cranked out work and it wiped out my score, and I can't recover. So this is an interesting test. I've tried almost everything to get my squeak up, and now I've got to leave for the truck show. It's starting to come back, but let me get to a break. We'll come back, we'll talk about that. Stick around, we'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim and I are talking right now about HRV. Kim, so I have over 100 readings in mine because I've been using mine for quite some time. Yeah. My highest is 96, and I've hit that several times. And my lowest is 49. So there's a big spread in there. And right now, yesterday I was at 59. And when I'm down in the 50s, I'm not feeling good. 40s, forget it. I might as well go to bed all day. It's that bad. Mm-hmm. So this morning, I went from 59 to 63. So I'm fighting my way back. What I'm finding is once you get your V score up, which is a measure of stress and resilience, and there's even a component of willpower in here, which is very strange. Once you get it up, it's much easier to keep it there than it is to try to get it back when you've wiped it out. I've been fighting this since, it hit me hard on Saturday. And then Sunday I had to do the show, so I wasn't recovering much then. And I've been fighting since then for a couple of days now. I'm taking supplements, I'm meditating, making sure I get outside and get some walk, get some sunshine. And it's tough to get back. This is kind of what we are measuring when we talk about adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. And when you get in this state, everything goes bad. The one thing that I hadn't noticed before, I've talked about how low my heart rate normally is, which is a good thing. It's almost always in the low 50s. Sometimes in the morning, I'm in the 40s for heart rate. I mean, that's they consider that elite athlete, and that's not me. I'm not out working out hardly ever. That was good. But when my HRV falls apart like it has right now, my heart rate this morning was up in the high 60s.
Oh, wow.
So heart rate gets worse. Blood sugar gets worse. Blood pressure gets worse. My sleep scores go down. Everything suffers. And this was just a result of pushing too hard.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm really loving this. And because it does, and I did the first one this morning with the running, and that's kind of like, because last week we talked about what it did to my blood sugar and how Michael shared with the anaerobic, and it made sense because I do, especially in the heat, my heart rate goes high and stays high. So it was cool to see. Now, they say HRV isn't the best to use for training. I think it's for the heart rate monitoring thing, but yet I love how it does track. So this Wednesdays are like my speed intervals, so it gives me a chance to go fast anaerobic and then recover. And and this thing showed that, and it left, and then my V scores and stuff still stayed good. So it's really another fascinating tool that's very, very simple to use once you start playing with it and seeing how it works.
Yeah, and like I say, it's you learn something right away, but I've been doing it, like I said, for over 100 readings, still learning stuff all the time. So this is another one that eventually will have some sort of a formal solution around this, a recommendation. But right now we just don't. I'm still doing a lot of testing. You mentioned Michael. I just thought of something. You know, he just took his midterm for the NTP this past
weekend.
You know what was interesting? He started telling me, he said, I did something so stupid on the midterm. He said, I would have almost aced it, but, and he started telling me the story, and I said, oh, you got to be kidding me. I said, you forgot to go back and say what? It was on the food journal. So you have to review somebody's food journal, point out what's wrong with it, create a new one. And then the third step of that question was explain why. He did the exact same thing I did. That's what I did on the midterm. I got everything right about what was wrong with the first food journal. My food journal was perfect, but I forgot to explain why. I just didn't do it. And he did the exact same thing.
Wow. I could see him kicking himself.
Yeah, but that was strange. All right, I said we weren't going to do a long open, but we always do. So what do you say we get to some calls?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's head off to Michigan. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kim.
Hi there.
Well, can we help you? I just calling to check on what happened with my NutriQ. I had retaken it after I started keto. And thanks to you, Kevin, for giving me that recipe with, like, the salmon, tuna, and the sardine combination, you know, mixing that up with olive oil and cider vinegar. And it got me off the Mountain Dew, but I literally was rinsing it down with Mountain Dew when I started, but I thought, well, I got to start somewhere. So I got off the Mountain Dew after rinsing it down with Mountain Dew to start with. It, like, took me a few weeks, but I did it. So
I'd like that we took something that we know is clearly bad for you, and you knew that, but you used it in a good way. It helped you transition to a much, much better habit. So I actually like that. If that's what it takes, that's how we move forward. Kim, do we have the comparison?
Yeah, that's the next one down, because I sent you the wrong one first. I've ignored that, and then the one right underneath it. 515,
oh, there
we comparing 515 to 811.
Got it. Okay, so here we go. You're kind of a mixed bag, and we see this, but there's some really, really good news in here. So your upper GI actually got a little worse. That doesn't surprise me. Keto, that transition can be very hard on digestion. You're eating more protein, which requires a lot more hydrochloric acid, and people are deficient in hydrochloric acid. It's why we talk about digestion so much, and it's why we have our, you know, very clear recommendations on supplements. Eating real food and going keto can really disrupt digestion. So upper GI got a little worse. That would be primarily hydrochloric acid. So are you supplementing with anything for digestion?
Well, I had started eating beef, which I hadn't eaten in 25 years, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it really did affect my stomach. As far as after I would eat, I literally couldn't almost make it to the bathroom every time I would eat something. And I'm like, I know I'm healing, but I did notice a difference, and I'm not taking any supplements, no.
Okay. You would want to supplement with betaine and intenzyme. Those are the two I would recommend right now. The good news is liver, gallbladder improved a little bit, so we could also throw in some beta plus. So those three should really get things improving there. Your small intestine improved tremendously. That's a good sign. You may have had some leaky gut and some SIBO going on, and just the dietary change alone has already improved that. So I wouldn't do any supplementation there. We would just let that one go because it's really improving. Large intestine actually got worse. I wouldn't do anything there either. I would just wait and see. That could improve itself over time. Essential fatty acids didn't improve at all. Almost nobody does. We have a hard time with that category, and that's what I'm going to have to go back and do a lot of research on. But here's the one I absolutely love. Your sugar handling went from 29, which is just way off the charts, to 6.
Yeah.
That is
I was doing a lot of sugar because my mom had passed away, and I just kind of turned to sugar and was literally living off sugar for a while.
Well, the good news is you responded very, very well to that change. So again, I wouldn't supplement anything there. The diet is doing an amazing job, and I would just keep doing it. Along with the sugar handling, your adrenals improved. That's big. We see a lot of women where we just get stuck on adrenals, and to see yours moving this much already is really good. Same with thyroid. Your thyroid numbers came way down. Those are all really, really good signs. And cardiovascular, which is your heart health, went from 17 to 5. So you are seeing a little bit of sticking in digestion. We fully expect that. The supplements should kickstart that and get it going. The rest of the stuff, just keep doing what you're doing, because the improvements are amazing.
Awesome. And I didn't know where I should start. I kind of want to become part of the tribe, and I didn't know which version to start. That was a little confusing to me, trying to figure that out online as to where I should start.
we need to clarify that, and that's something Kim and Kim's pushing for, and we're trying. It's just we're so busy on projects, but we realize that the programs aren't clear right now. I would absolutely start either at the silver or possibly the gold, because we may want to look for some food reactions on you, and that's the difference. The gold includes the food test. And I think that may be really helpful for you right now. That may be part of the digestion, but either one of those would get you into the direct mentoring with Kim and I. And we could always add a fit test later if we thought we needed to. I'm going to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. We're down to the final segment. Kim, isn't it just so gratifying and humbling when you see somebody create those kind of results?
It's absolutely perfect. I think she's one, which is nice when Debbie got on the show then, because of her graph and what she did. And I was just sending her a note to kind of summarize the supplements we recommend. You can see what happened just with diet. And her dedication, look at the steps she went through, you know, and that's what it is. It's baby steps and, you know, keep going forward. And her, just her tenacity was great. So now when we're going to add this next step with the supplements to help with her digestion, I can't wait to see what that does for her then.
Yeah. And this is such a perfect example of why we do what we do. We focus when it comes to supplements, we almost always put everybody on a digestive regimen of some sort. We have a couple we mix up here and there, but that is standard for us. And I always say, let's hold off on all the other supplements because let's see what diet and digestion fixes. Well, she did it without any supplements. She saw huge results in a lot of areas, except digestion. It actually got a little worse. So it just shows that the digestive supplements are just almost across the board. Everybody needs them. And you're right. Now, when she goes back to take those and she starts pulling more and more nutrients out of her food, because she's obviously made really good dietary changes, it's going to be exciting to see her next results. You also sent me a summary this morning of one of our clients that's working directly with us in a mentoring program. And in only 2 weeks, the results just, and they were in his words. He explained what was going on after just 2 weeks, and it was phenomenal.
And you know, he's one, when you were saying that to Debbie too, he mentioned about the fit test, and we're finding actually some people that do the silver. I just upgraded somebody from silver to gold this morning. He mentioned that too, that was his starting point, and he knocked those foods out right away, and that really gave him a big jump start.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the single biggest roadblock we see in all of this is, and this is where I haven't finished all my research yet, but I'm working on it a lot, comes back to stress. But what people don't realize is all the different forms of stress, and food reactions are one of them. A food reaction, and most people don't even realize it's happening, but a food reaction puts your body into the same fight or flight mode that all stresses do. And that mode is what's blocking a lot of results for people. So we can identify that it's stress causing the roadblock, then we have to dig into their life and find out where that stress is coming from. Is it the typical mental stress we think of? Is it stress of overworking? Is it stress of overworking out? Is it a food-related stress, the toxins in your environment? Is it a lack of sleep? And it could even be a little bit of all of them. So we know what's causing these stalls and roadblocks. We can almost always identify that it's coming back to, you know, poor adrenal function, hormone imbalance. That all comes back to stress. And then the hard part is identifying where exactly the stress is coming from and then getting people to make those lifestyle changes. This was actually going to be my topic today, but it would have been really, really long. So we'll save it for next week. Yeah. But I'm learning a lot of new things about that. So we're going to get to some calls here. Let's go to Oklahoma. Stuart, welcome to the program.
Text yesterday there, Kevin.
There you go.
Colin, I've got a problem. I started at 276 pounds. I am now down to 198 pounds.
Wow, congratulations.
Anyway, I'm kind of wondering, this is such a keto 101 question that it's ridiculous. Does keto ever stop working? Does it ever stop having an effect? I gave up the milk. I gave up the chicken. I lowered my protein. I cut that in thirds. But I'm still just kind of right there, you know?
It does stop for a lot of people. It's very common, as a matter of fact, that it just stops. And I was just talking about the roadblocks, the stalls. Sometimes it stops because, well, you've kind of reached your normal body weight. And that's where I am. I've been here for, 2 years now. I can lose more. If I go back to really, really strict keto, I'll drop about another 15 pounds. And it's actually lighter than I want to be. So I'm very happy with where I am right now. But we would have to look at stress. You know, we would have to look at, have you taken a NutriQ recently?
No, I have not. I did notice on my Capital One statement that I did sign up for it. Apparently my better half decided that I would sign up for it for me. Have not started anything yet.
Yeah, get in there and get started, especially if you've paid for it. We'd love to work with you on this. And when we have all that information, I'll be able to really dial in on what's going on. My guess is we're going to see it in the NutriQ.
Yeah, a second. Stuart, I want to make sure we understand, too. Did you guys sign up for the keto course? Because the NutriQ is free, and I don't have you part of the highway.
I believe what she signed up for was a keto course.
Okay.
But I'd have to ask. I'm so busy anymore that I don't even get to. I noticed stuff on the Capital One statement, but that's it.
Hey Stuart, you just told us what's going on.
Yeah.
What did I say wrong now?
Well, you didn't say anything wrong, but it was very telling. You said I'm so busy I couldn't even look at it.
Oh. All right. I thought that was a good problem.
Well, it is. It is. But it's somewhat. We've created this culture in our country that, it's like a badge of honor to work 16, 20 hours a day. You know, I only got 4 hours. I just said it. I said I only got 4 hours sleep and I was taking 1 hour. But I'm measuring and I know what it did to me. It wiped out my adrenals. And I see it in every biomarker. My blood pressure is worse. My heart rate is worse. My blood sugar is worse. So I think we've taken this busyness in this country to an extreme. And I think the next big revolution, this is what I was going to talk about today. I think the food revolution is starting to mature just a little bit. It's becoming much more mainstream. You're hearing a lot more people talk about fat and how it's good for us. We're back to, looking at whole food again. There's the slow food movement. The paleo movement has kind of matured. We have a long, long way to go, but I think it's finally kind of hitting a little bit of a tipping point. I think the next revolution in health has to come in this area of stress. And we're going to have to realize that being busy all the time is not good for us. We need to take more time. We need to live more like the French. You know, they talk about the French paradox. How can the French have so low rates of heart disease and diabetes, and French kids don't have ADHD, period? Why is that? We thought they ate a horrible diet. Well, it turns out, no, they eat a really good diet. It's high in saturated fat. It's high in animal products. They drink wine pretty regular. Was that the good part or the bad part? We didn't know. I think what it really comes down to is their lifestyle. And I think that's what the next big revolution is going to be in lifestyle, relaxing more, connecting more, sleeping better. And I think that is probably what you're facing. You've gotten amazing results from the diet part of this. But I think just from listening to you and seeing what's happening, that this is going to be stress related. And it could be. Now, you said you've eliminated a lot of foods. Were those from a fit test?
No, this is, now Kevin, I'm the guy that sold my cab over and bought the dry cleaners. I haven't been able to listen to you like I should because I've been so busy with the dry cleaners most of this stuff is new to me.
Yeah. There's a lot of stress, right? Changing entire businesses. That's a little stressful. So I think we're clearly identifying what this is. So you've got to really focus on things like meditation, a little bit of maybe high intensity exercise. When I say high intensity, I mean for where you are, connection, getting outside, taking time away from work. And I know how hard that is with a new business. But that's what's going to fix this. That's what's going to get you over that plateau. And we're going to talk about this a lot more next week. This will be the theme for our show. There's the music. That means I've got to get out of here. We will see you next time. So thanks for joining me. Be safe. Be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, real quick.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. We're going to go and we're going to bring him on. I'm going to do one more call off the air just because we said we would. And we brought him on the show and I just ran out of time. Kim is getting with him now and I'm going to bring him on in just a second. All right. I think I can bring him on now.
Okay.
Gilbeck,
are
you with me? Hello? Yep, we're going to do you off the air because I know you're holding and I want to make sure we get to your question.
Oh, okay, yeah. How are you doing today?
Good. What can we help you with?
You got my Nutriku results.
Okay, let me take a look at that. Kim, have you been over this one yet?
Yeah, that's why I asked him to actually call the show. I wrote a note right under there, and so I wanted your help with him on this one.
This is kind of interesting. Are you on any kind of medications?
Mm-hmm. Blood pressure, just only one.
Is it a diuretic, do you know? Do you know which drug it is?
Oh, I don't remember the name.
Okay, that's fine.
It's a very minimum 8 mg.
Okay. All right. So you've got kind of an interesting, you score very well on most of your digestion. Your highest score in digestion is large intestine. You may want to add some fermented foods to your diet and consider taking a probiotic. And for now, I'm not sure that I would do anything else on digestion. You might be what we call an underreporter, but we'll go with this for now and then see if we see improvements. Your sugar handling's not bad, so not a big deal there. Your pituitary is really your highest score, and that's pretty unusual. Your adrenals aren't bad. Your thyroid isn't bad. Kim, did you happen to go in and look and see what the specific pituitary symptoms were?
Yeah. Let me send that, because that's why I went over it. So now I see what you're saying now with the high blood pressure medicine might be causing some of his issues that he is having. If it's a diuretic.
Yeah.
Let me get this for you.
Yeah. It's such an unusual.
What is that?
Pituitary is one of the glands in your body that produces hormones. So when we talk about adrenal fatigue, which is what some people describe as burnout, you know, exhaustion, those kind of things. And we know that if you're in adrenal fatigue, it blocks weight loss and energy and all kinds of things. Well, adrenal fatigue is a misnomer, that we shouldn't call it that, but we do. It's really HPA axis dysfunction. And HPA, the P is pituitary. Your pituitary gland is a really important part of this whole hormonal balance. And when it gets out of whack, it can really cause a lot of other issues. It's just unusual to see somebody with fairly good scores everywhere else and pituitary just off the charts. So I'm having Kim go look up why the pituitary. I want to know what symptoms you scored so high on.
Yeah, I just sent it to you, Kevin.
Okay, let me go take a look here. This may, I'm not big on, you know, sending people out for a lot of testing, but when it comes to thyroid and pituitary, sometimes we do have to do some medical testing. Wow, you know, there's nothing in there that really helps us much at all. Pituitary might not be your problem, really. This might be one of the times where the test just didn't score as accurately as we'd like it to. That's why we go in and look at the specific symptoms. So I'm going to actually back off the pituitary thing. Tell me, what is the number of health you'd like to see improve?
Actually, I am on keto from 1 year.
Okay.
And I am using your Light Balance and that other collagelatin every day, like bulletproof coffee. And good. I think I don't have much exercise.
That could be. You know, the cool thing that we know about exercise and movement now is you don't have to do it long. I mean, there are some... Like, I really like the Tabata method. If you want to Google that, T-A-B-A-T-A, Tabata method. I mean, literally, it's getting a workout in under 10 minutes. And it's a pretty amazing workout.
Okay.
It's very short, intense. Mm-hmm. I would start with something like that. It's much easier to stay consistent because you don't have to say, oh, my God, I don't have an hour today to go to the gym and, you know, spend 40 minutes on a treadmill, and you don't have to do any of that. There's a phone app. You can do it with a curb. There's lots of ways to do it, and it's less than 10 minutes. I would start with something along those lines just to get some movement going. But it looks to me like maybe your scores are so low because you have been keto for a year. I mean, a lot of things have improved over that time, and that's why I'm kind of, you know, what one thing would you like to see improve now?
One thing is like my bowel movement is not good. That is my problem.
So what you're probably missing in your diet, and you tell me, it's very easy to eat a poor keto diet. especially on the road. The one thing that a lot of people are missing is you should be loading up on above ground vegetables. So
okay.
Any vegetable that grows above ground, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, peppers, even tomatoes, greens, lots and lots of greens, spinach, kale, those kind of things. Whatever you like out of all those groups, eat asparagus, eat a lot of it. That's what a lot of people are missing. They're afraid of the carbs that are in vegetables, and the above ground vegetables are pretty low. You've been keto for a year. I wouldn't worry too much. I'd be a little more liberal on your carb count. You may even want to play around with like a half of an apple and some nut butter at night. I actually eat a whole, sometimes even a really large apple at night now, with nut butter on it. Go ahead.
I start doing that. Yeah. I use that green apple with nut butter.
Yeah, perfect. It just, you may even want to consider supplementing with a little bit of fiber. And don't worry about, almost any good, you want to look for psyllium husk fiber in a capsule. A couple of those every day.
Okay.
And just start adding a lot more vegetables. And try that for a week or two and then give us a call back. And if it hasn't helped, I have some other ideas, but I think that's going to help. All right. Thanks, Kim. Any final words?
Yeah, thanks. No, I was really glad we got to do it. Thank you. No, this is great. Anybody, let us know. Email us at support@letstruck.com for anything you need.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody. And I've got to jump on a plane and head to Dallas. Hope to see you there.